If you turn to Psalm 133, I'm going to think about this text today as we think about the blessing of God in the covenant community. Psalm 133, three verses. Let's look at these and then we'll pray. This is a song of ascent of David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Incidentally, that's brothers and sisters, by the way. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Let's pray together just before we look at this text. Father, we thank you again for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that you are not a God who takes, but that you are a God who gives. You give of yourself. You gave of yourself as in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he died on the cross for our sins. You gave your Son. Father, you give us your Spirit, those who have trusted in Christ. You give of yourself again in the giving of your Spirit, that we might be transformed, that we might enjoy, even now, a foretaste of the fullness of life that is ours and that will be ours to come in the future. So we thank you, Father. We thank you that you are a God who longs to bless. And as we think about these words today, Father, we pray that you would help us. We pray that your Spirit would plant them in our hearts, that we might be able to be an encouragement to one another, even in these times that we find ourselves in, Father, that we might be able to encourage one another and that you might bless us through one another. Father, we recognize that even though Christ has paid for all of our sin, we recognize that we still sin. And we pray, Father, that your Spirit would be work in us to change us and to make us new. Father, we pray that you would give us a spirit of repentance, that when we do fail, that our first instinct would be to come back to you, our loving Heavenly Father who longs to restore. We pray, Father, as we have been guilty this week, maybe of greed or lust or a desire for power, Father, if maybe we've been angry to the point of sin, we confess that to you, Father. And we come before you in the name of Jesus, knowing that his blood has covered all of our sin. We come to you for mercy and grace in our time of need. We thank you that we can do that with confidence and with assurance that based on the sacrifice of Christ, you hear us, you love us, and you've forgiven us. So, Father, we pray that as the psalmist wrote, that you might, through your Spirit, search our hearts, explore all those nooks and crannies and crevices where sin likes to hide out, Father, and expose it to us. And then would you remove it from us, that our joy might not be inhibited by counterfeit delight. So God, would you work in us, even as we come before you to confess our sin. We thank you, Father, that we can have confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that not because of our goodness, but because of his goodness, we are rightly related to you through faith as sons and daughters. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for those governing and leading and making decisions. We pray that you would give them wisdom. We pray that you would help them in these uncertain times to make good decisions. We pray, Father, for other churches that are having to wrestle with the same the same restrictions and the same difficulties that we are wrestling with. We pray that through it all that you would encourage the churches, that the Lord Jesus is still the head of the church, and that nothing can overcome it. So, Father, we pray that you would help us as we navigate these waters to do so in faith, to do so in confidence that you are with us, and God, that you still desire to use us in our communities, in our housing estates, in our homes. We thank you. Father, we pray for those that are hurting this morning. We pray for those that are hurting emotionally, for relationships that are probably even, maybe even more than strained. We pray, Father, that you would bring peace, that the gospel of reconciliation might actually reconcile people. We pray that you would be pleased to give us strength and peace in the midst of turmoil. For those that are suffering physically, we pray that you would bring healing to them. We thank you, Father, for all of your goodness to us. And as we turn to look at your word, we pray that you would speak to us through it. As we said, that your spirit would take its words and just plant them deep within our hearts, that they might take root, that they might grow, and Father, that they might bear fruit. So God, would you be pleased to work in us in these brief moments that we have together, that you would maximize our joy in Jesus, that we might long for more of him. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 133. It's nice to see all of your smiling faces. I trust that you're smiling, even though I can't really see. It's a strange thing to preach to a bunch of people wearing masks. So anyway, Psalm 133. There's a saying maybe you're familiar with. See if you can finish it. You don't know what you've got until it's gone, right? You're familiar with that. You don't know what you got till it's gone. Its meaning is simple, right? We tend to take things for granted until they get taken away from us. We could say that about a lot of things that we experienced during the lockdown, couldn't we? You don't know what you've got until it's gone. How many of you bought Christmas gifts for your barber or hairdresser before the lockdown? Probably nobody. But like now they're your best friend, right? You know their name, you know their birthday. I remember when I got my hair cut, it was the greatest day of my life, right? This is what I celebrated that day. And if you're here today, then I'm guessing that you have felt that about church as well, about the gathering of the church together. But maybe you're still on the fence a bit. In any event, what I want to do today is just to extol the blessedness of our being able to be together physically with one another, granting that, you know, we're not all able to be together. So even this is falling short of what it is for our church together. This is only partially our church, but it's still a blessed thing. And I hope that you'll see that as we look through Psalm 133. The local church, as a visible expression, a local visible expression of the invisible church, is primarily a gathering of God's people. It's the place where God's covenant people live out the gospel in covenant with one another and in front of the watching world. And as thankful as we've been for the technology to be able to continue to help in some small way foster some sense of encouragement, online church just isn't the same as our being able to gather together. And so being together, even though, again, right now we're not able to fully gather, but being together is a blessing that we should celebrate with one another. I wonder if we understand or appreciate that today. Do we appreciate what God does through us and in us as we gather together? See, what we have today right here, right now, is not simply 50 people engaged in an individualistic act of piety, some individual religious event. Now, God is at work beyond the individual, such that when you're not here, or when we are not able to meet together, all of us lose out. All of us are diminished, have a diminished experience of what God wants to do in us. And if we're not careful, what the lockdown, you know, one of the negative effects of the lockdown, if we're not careful, is that it can cause us to forget or to grow lax in our appreciation for what God does when his people gather together physically. Look, I'm just going to be honest with you. I enjoyed being able to preach in my pajamas. As I'm sure, maybe from week to week, maybe you enjoyed being able to watch a sermon in your pajamas, right? Now, all you could see of me was from here up. I'm not going to comment on anything beyond that. But I enjoyed being able to do that for a time. But that's not what God is after. And so my hope is that we might appreciate how God works when we meet together, and that in appreciating that we might recommit ourselves to being a people who value the gathering of the covenant community. Because, as we'll see today, it's in the covenant community that we experience the blessing of God in our lives. And look, that's not to say that things are perfect. Of course they aren't. We experience all of God's blessings in this world in a diminished way because of sin. Of course that's true. It's a risk, isn't it, for us to give ourselves to one another, to minister to one another. But what I want you to see today is that the blessing is worth the risk. Psalm 133 is a song of ascent. So this is a series of songs that were sung as the Jewish people made their pilgrimages to the festivals in Jerusalem. Again, just like with us here, these festivals were not simply individualistic acts of devotion, as if it was only about the individual worshiper. These were covenant community events where the community of God's people gathered. Now, as they were making these journeys, do you think there were problems along the way between these people? Well, of course there were. It's people gathered together. There's going to be problems, right? That's one of the reasons they had this song to sing, to remind themselves that in spite of the problems, in spite of the difficulties, I don't think they had to wear masks, but in spite of all of that, there was a blessing in being able to be together with one another. They sang this song as a reminder of that. So what I want us to see today is that the local, visible, imperfect community of faith is worth celebrating and appreciating and giving ourselves to, because it is the place in which we experience visibly and tangibly the blessing of God. So let's think about this together as we look at this psalm. Psalm 133, God's blessing is made visible in the fellowship of the covenant community. As we see in the psalm, blessing is bound up in the community as it gathers together, as it is united together. He begins with this affirmation in verse 1. He says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. Good and pleasant simply mean beneficial and delightful. How beneficial it is, how delightful it is when God's people can be together, can dwell together in unity. Now, that phrase, dwelling together, it means one of two things. It either means proximity, as in how blessed it is when God's people can be close to each other in the same physical space. You might think of actual brothers or family members, the benefits of being close in proximity to one another. They're able to help each other, that sort of thing. And that is certainly true, but there's a deeper sense in which that phrase gets used. And I think it's the sense here. It's that deeper sense of unity, the unity of purpose, the shared life of a broader group of people, not just people that are physically related to each other, but people who are related in covenant with one another. And this is what I think is in view. This was the way the psalm was understood later in Judaism, and it seems to be the way it's understood here, this broader sense of unity, of shared life together, not just of little nuclear families or extended families, but of the spiritual family of God. How good and pleasant it is when that kind of unity gets experienced. And why? We'll look down at verse 3. He says, for in this kind of united community of faith, for there the Lord has, and if you have an ESV, it says commanded the blessing. I think the NIV is bestowed blessing. The point is, this is the place where this blessing, how God wants to bless his people, this is where that gets experienced and fleshed out. His blessing of life through a people who are in covenant with God and with one another. And then he explains this idea of how good this is. And he does it using two images. He uses the image of oil and the image of dew. So if we think about these images, oil represents here the blessing of God's presence in the healing ministry of the covenant community. Now look at what he says in verse 2. It is like, that is this idea of brothers and sisters dwelling in unity together, is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. So oil in that day, oil refreshed and it healed. Now, there's a general use in which, like if you were to go to a party, you would anoint yourself with oil. It was like a perfume. It made you look good. But there's another sense in which this oil seems to be used. You notice the reference to Aaron, the high priest. This is the precious oil that is in view here. This is the anointing oil. And this anointing oil was reserved for the consecrating of the high priest. It wasn't marketed and sold in pennies. It was only used for this particular thing, the anointing of the priest of God in Exodus 30. And as the anointing oil ran down the head of the priest and over his garments, the robe and the ephod, the breastplate that had the names of all the 12 tribes, the people of God, close to his heart, it signified God's relationship to his people through the mediation of this high priest. So it's the symbol of God's blessing running down, covering, and uniting his people together through the high priest. And notice what the psalmist says, that the shared life of covenant community is like this oil that represented God's presence with his people through the ministry of another. Through the mediation of this priest, God's relationship with his people was experienced and enjoyed. Now, it's true that we have one mediator. Jesus is our sole mediator. But as Peter says, in thinking about the Old Testament people of God and applying it to the New Testament people of God, we are a kingdom of priests. So we have one mediator, but we are all ministers to one another as we live out life together. So we experience the blessing of God's presence in the healing ministry that we have to one another. And so we walk with one another. We intercede for one another. We're able to help one another. We bring healing in that sense to one another as God works through us directly in the lives of our brothers and sisters. The oil of God's blessing, the presence in the oil. So the next image that he uses is the dew of Hermon in that first part of verse 3. It is like, and again, what is he talking about? He's talking about the shared life of the covenant community is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Mount Hermon was a part of the lush region in the northernmost part of Israel. It's a beautiful spot. It's a beautiful spot in contrast to some of the drier, more arid parts of the nation. Mount Hermon became a symbol of life and fruitfulness and prosperity. And so the psalmist here, in thinking about the dew of Hermon, it signifies the blessing of God's presence and the refreshing encouragement that comes through the covenant community. Now, he's not arguing that the dew that falls on Mount Hermon way up in the northern part of the kingdom somehow makes its way all the way down to the southern part of Jerusalem. That's not what he's arguing. Rather, he's saying that in the same way, the dew that falls on Mount Hermon makes its way down and makes that region lush, replenishes the moisture that's lost. In the same way, so God replenishes and encourages through his people. Dew was seen as refreshment in a land which saw no precipitation in the summer months. Now, we can't relate to that here, right? We have more precipitation than we need. But for a nation, for an area that was arid and dry, any amount of moisture, even dew, is a huge blessing. It's a refreshing thing. And so what he's saying here is that even in difficult and dry times, that God replenishes, encourages his people through the covenant community. We are the ones that act as God's hands and feet in bringing encouragement and refreshment to one another. And so what is it we celebrate and appreciate as we think about what God is doing as we gather? Well, it is the fact that we, as God's people, experience the blessing of God's presence made visible and tangible. God isn't here visibly and tangibly to bless us, but you are, and you are, and you are. And so we experience the blessing of God's presence made visible and tangible in the covenant community of faith as we gather together. We experience his blessing through the healing ministry of the community, as we help one another, as we intercede for one another, as we encourage one another, as priests to one another. We experience his blessing through the refreshing encouragement that we receive from one another. See, this is the beauty of the covenant community of faith, God's blessing made visible in our shared life together. So what's our response to a text that tells us that God's blessing is made visible, is bound up in the covenant community? Well, if that's true, then we have to allow ourselves to experience God's blessing by giving ourselves to the community, giving ourselves to one another as agents of God's blessing. We have to decide that even though now the blessing isn't experienced perfectly, the blessing is tainted, as all blessings are in this world in which there is sin. You know, one day we look forward to the day where the blessing will be experienced fully in his presence. But today we have to decide that even though the blessing is experienced imperfectly, it's worth the risk. It's worth giving ourselves to. It's worth it. Kevin DeYoung, he said that the church is like a sleepover with teenage girls. He said there's going to be problems. And there's going to be problems as the people of God gather together. But the problems are worth the risk. And we have to decide that that is true. That that is true. And having decided that it's worth the risk, we then entrust ourselves to God as we give ourselves to one another as the instruments through which God blesses us. See, for many of you, I recognize this, for many of you, beneficial and delightful may not be words that you associate with a local visible expression of God's church. Maybe you have a history of things that have not gone well with you. I recognize that. But please don't retreat into some attempt at a private experience with God, because that's not enough. That's not where God does his work in us. It's not as we give ourselves to a private experience. It's as we gather together. Eugene Peterson said, no Christian is an only child. We need each other. We need the encouragement that comes from one another, and we need for God to work through us to be a blessing to those who are around us. We always should pursue the ideal, right? Even though we recognize that the reality often falls short. So instead of turning and running, we entrust ourselves to God. We look to him to take us beyond whatever experience we've had that may be negative. And we entrust ourselves to him. And see, here's what that does. When we entrust ourselves in spite of our experience, when we entrust ourselves to God, what that does is it then frees us up to be a blessing to one another. If we entrust ourselves to God that he is going to meet our needs, then I don't have to worry about that. Instead, I can focus in on how God wants me to be a blessing to you. And then the same with you to me and with one another. Part of experiencing the blessing of God is that we get to be a blessing to others. And again, don't miss that, because it's incredible that in some mysterious way, we become for others the embodiment of God's presence in their lives as we minister healing and refreshment to them. As we give ourselves to them, we in some mysterious way actually become a living embodiment of what Jesus did for us in the gospel, giving himself. And we get to become the skin and bones of God's blessing. And so look, when you're missing, when we aren't able to meet together, all of us miss out on another expression of God's blessing, through which his blessing comes. We all miss out on something of God's blessing. So the covenant community gathered is good and pleasant. It is beneficial and delightful when we get together as a covenant people. It's the embodiment of the blessing that the presence of God brings as we minister to one another, as we bring refreshment to one another. So I hope that you will allow yourself to experience that blessing, and not just experience it, but that you will see yourself as an instrument through which God blesses his people as you relate to one another. What a joy that we're able to get back even like this. And sure, we long for the day when all of us will be able to be together. But what a joy that if only partially, we can be together and we can be a blessing to one another. That's what God wants to do. Well, over the next 2 weeks, I want us to consider kind of what I think are the twin engines that God uses to drive this blessing. The two kind of chief mindsets and attitudes that we should all be pursuing together and through which God will bless us. Let's pray. before we sing our final song. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your desire to bless your people. And the way that you do it, not just abstractly, not just intangibly, but Father, how you use your covenant people together to make that blessing visible, to make it tangible, to give it skin and bones. And we pray, Father, that we would be encouraged as we meet with one another, as we are able to sing the songs, as we're able to sing our story, as we're able to sing about the gospel and the joy that it brings. We pray that we might encourage one another. We pray for our brothers and sisters that are watching on Facebook because for whatever reason they aren't able to be with us. We pray that you would encourage them. And we pray, Father, longing for the day when we can all be together and we can all encourage one another. Help us, Father, to view ourselves as ministers of blessing, that you might use us in one another's lives, not to key in on ourselves, but, Father, to give ourselves as instruments of your blessing. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.